the Bureau of Justice Assistance, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast. Visit us online at theenglishexpress.com. Be a part of the program by emailing us at info@theenglishexpress.com. Audio files are available online, so you can listen to the show wherever you go. On the bus, in the shower, out back with the pool boy. Wait, what? Let's start the show. All aboard the English Express.
Welcome to the English Express Radio Podcast with your hosts, Cliff and Brandon.
Hello, everybody.
I was just reading the news the other day, and I saw something really
you
cool.
You can read?
I can read.
Oh, that's amazing.
Not very well.
Do you read in Russian?
I can. Again, not very well.
Oh, well.
But at least I can read.
That's good. Well, you got the basics.
Speaking of Russia, two almost intact prehistoric lion cubs, you know, like the saber-toothed tiger, were discovered last year. They were found in their icy graves, complete with all of their body parts.
Whoa.
Fur, ears, soft tissue, and even their whiskers.
I mean,
and this is from like the Ice Age, from literally thousands and thousands of years ago. In South Korea, who is well known for their technology, they immediately said, "We're bored. Let's clone the lion cubs from the Ice Age."
Oh, no. South Korea, why?
That's right. If they get their way, Ice Age lions could be roaming the earth again. Hwang Woo-suk, South Korea, at least he's from South Korea, a cloning expert, is traveling.
I want to make so many bad eating animal jokes, and I'm just not. I'm just not going to do it.
Well, he's traveling to Russia to get samples from one of the cubs. Incidentally, he's already working on a groundbreaking project to bring the extinct woolly mammoth back to life.
Groundbreaking.
Because he's giant.
Because they're heavy. I find out jokes are funnier when you explain them, so I do that now.
The thing that worries me is if this continues, we're going to have Jeff Goldblum saying, must go faster, a whole lot sooner than we thought.
They never stopped to ask, should they?
Let's start the show with the work pile.
Work, 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 work. It's a me heavy work, 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 work.
Did you go to university?
Say what?
Did you go to college?
A junior college. What do they call them now? Community colleges?
Yeah. Do you know anybody who's majored in philosophy?
No.
Well, it turns out that if you're majoring in philosophy, you would actually make more money as a babysitter.
Oh, no. Well, that's because babysitters are getting paid outrageous amounts.
Yes, they are. It's become a very lucrative gig here in America. Taking care of one child garners an average of $15.75 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
For babysitting.
Oh, it gets worse. It gets worse. So what these babysitters will do is they'll take the kid from another house. Like, you'll get one employer, and then you take that kid with you to another person's house. And so you're taking care of two kids at one client's house, and the client's house you're at pays you $5 less or whatever, and you end up making $25 an hour because you're taking care of two kids.
Well, if you do two kids from the same family, you're getting about $18 an hour. How are normal people affording this? I got a feeling.
A full-time job just so they don't have to stay at home with their kids. Well, that's how they do it.
But I'm thinking they're going out for like dinner and a movie or something.
No, what it usually is that time after school where the babysitter has to come over for 2 or 3 hours.
You're wasting like your whole days of pay on 3 hours of babysitting.
Yes. Well, it's awful. It's a terrible racket that people are running up. And it's something that I hope to contribute to helping with providing affordable childcare, you know, around my area. I hope to do that for people eventually. But right now, dude, that people are paying up the butt for childcare.
And obviously it's worse in more expensive areas like San Francisco and New York. The average hourly rate in those cities is more than $16 an hour.
Ugh.
Denver has the cheapest hourly rate at $11.75, which in my opinion is still pretty damn high.
It truly is. But I mean, these are people you're trying to trust with the well-being of your children. So maybe you do want good people that are willing to, or that are, you know, demanding a little more for their time.
Well, and that's what's driving it. The higher cost of living does have something to do with it because, you know, people are making more, things cost more. By the way, who's babysitting as a living? I mean, that's like a child care service. That's a business. I'm talking about babysitting. That's not a way of life.
It truly is a way of life, though. And it's a selling point that I was talking with colleagues because, you know, I'm in the childcare field and this one girl, her business model was to babysit. She says, I'm working with one family that has two kids and I have a third family that has one kid. I take the one kid over to the house with two kids. The one family pays me 18. The other family pays me 20. And boom, there we go. I'm making $40 an hour thereabouts. And that's her whole business model.
And they're full-time professionals, people who have regular jobs. And they say, hey, I'm a young professional. I've got specialized skills and a college degree. And I'm a babysitter. You gotta pay me more. I'm more responsible than, you know, Jill, who is the high school student down the street.
Well, and that was the other thing I forgot to mention with this girl. She was, you know, getting college educated. So she's saying, I know how to teach your children. I'll be a teacher, not just a babysitter.
So is Jill down the street still babysitting? Is she getting priced out of the market?
Oh, I think that she's probably the equivalent of undocumented workers coming in to do menial manual labor.
So that's like, still going on.
I think Jill down the street's still getting a job for $5 an hour because people can't afford College Susie.
And they say nearly a third of parents hire a babysitter at least once a week. How often do you get a babysitter?
Once a week.
You're in with a third. 20% hire a babysitter twice a month. For people who can't afford it, they never hire a babysitter.
Well, we have a little something called grandma.
That doesn't count as a babysitter. Are you paying grandma?
For her gas money, yeah.
Well, at least that's something.
She boils down to about $1.50 to $2 a weekend for two kids. So
that's what we call cheap.
Yeah. Undocumented worker status.
How many job interviews have you done in your life?
Three.
I'm going to make you the hiring manager and I'm the employee. You're a potential employee. And you tell me if I would get a job.
Okay.
Hello, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Please, I don't know how to be a hiring manager. I don't have questions.
Don't worry. I'll do it for you.
Okay, so you'll be the interviewer and the interviewee.
You just pretend. You give me your reactions.
I'll just sit and listen.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting this job. Oh, wait. My cell phone is ringing. Excuse me, sir. Can you leave your office? This is really a private conversation.
Yeah, I'm going to need you to leave now. This interview is over. That would shut it down right there.
Now, I need to tell you something. I'm not sure how long I'll be able to stay with this job because I might get an inheritance when my uncle dies and it's not looking too good for him.
Oh, my God. This guy's a dirtbag.
These are actual things that have been said during
interviews. Oh, this isn't the same person?
No. These are the Career Builder interviewed 3,000 hiring managers who tell them about the most bizarre things they've witnessed during a job interview.
Yikes.
Now, Mr. Hiring Manager, I was just wondering, after our interview, do you think you could give me a ride home?
Oh, that's bad. Really, dude? Did you check the box that you had transportation to?
Well, I assumed that you would be my transportation, so I marked yes.
Yeah, I've been stalking you for a few weeks and noticed you live right around the corner. Thought we could carpool.
By the way, I know you asked me for a writing sample because this is like a secretarial job, but I can't give you one because all of my writing had been for the CIA and it's classified.
Sure.
Ask me why I got fired.
Oh, so I noticed here you worked at Starbucks earlier, and can you tell me why you left that job?
Sure, I was fired.
Why were you fired?
Beating up my last boss.
Yikes. Well, thank you so much. You're in great consideration. Here's the door.
Now, I know you offered me food before the interview, but I'm going to have to say no. I don't want to line my stomach with grease before I go out drinking tonight.
You don't admit that in an interview. Okay, make sure you take lots of pictures and put them up on Facebook, too.
Now, I do understand that this is an accounting position, but I do have to warn you, I'm a people person, not a numbers person.
Okay, wrong job.
And by the way, I hope it didn't bother you when we were doing the telephone interview from home and I flushed my toilet.
Oh, Jesus, if they didn't say anything, don't bring it up. No, you know what's bad? You know that person, it was bothering them for like the days intervening. For days, that person was tripping.
The last one here, a candidate takes out a hairbrush and begins brushing her hair mid-interview.
You know, I almost sympathize with that one because it's probably a nervous habit and she's probably nervous in the interview.
Okay, that's a problem though. You need to think about what you're doing. These are things not to do during an interview. Like the definitive list.
I just say I sympathize with it a little bit, you know, because I've had those moments where I do really good at something, but then when I'm being tested on it or feel like I'm being judged, I behave differently than I normally do, that the pressure gets to me or whatever. So, you know, I just sympathize with that one. It seems like a nervous tick.
It's too bad that we don't work for Facebook in England because they had a huge tax bill. I mean, you know how England is. Their taxes are ridiculous. And when they were faced with a giant tax bill, they came up with a great solution. Let's just pay each employee who works there $1 million. That'll bring down our tax bill.
That doesn't sound like it will work.
No, it totally does because those are expenses. Anything that you have expenses on, that is not income. That's an expense. You only get taxed on income.
Oh, okay.
So they're paying out $397 million in bonuses, which comes out to about $1.1 million for each person. And by doing so, they get to count them as taxable expenses and cut almost all of their net profits that it has to pay corporate taxes on. Back in 2014, Facebook did a similar stunt with about $50 million in stock awards it paid out to employees, resulting in only a $6,000 tax bill. So even though its revenue was actually closer to $150 million, I mean, because, you know, the taxes still get paid. It just shifts it to the millionaire employees. Yeah, because they get taxed at about 45%.
The corporate tax or the individual tax?
The individual tax.
So does that mean
the corporate tax is higher?
So the government is getting less money because of this move.
Yeah, and you know what that deal is? They go, we'll give you $1 million. You pay your taxes, and you got to give us $50,000 back each.
Oh, under the table stuff. I didn't even think about that.
Maybe. I don't think so. Who knows? You never know.
Well, and I'm like, the employee could just say, no.
I would say yes, and then say no.
Yeah, sure. Give me $1 million and I'll give you $50,000. That's a good deal. Never mind. Changed my mind. Oh, I'm fired? I don't care. I got $1 million.
I would quit immediately.
No, because what about next year's bonus?
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, what is your opinion on the minimum wage controversy going on in America today?
Oh, the raise it to $15 crap?
Yeah, we're going to talk about that right after the break.
Yeah, I have no opinion.
We're going to look at what minimum wage buys in the past from the 1950s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and so on. So we'll take a break. We'll be right back here on the English Express Radio Podcast.
Welcome back to the English Express Radio Podcast, what radio wants to be when it grows up.
All aboard
the English Express.
As I went through school, one giant question loomed over me. What did I want to be? But in order to know what I wanted to be, I had to first decide what I wanted to make. I wanted to make more. So I became a teacher. Now I make learning a privilege, not a chore. And frustration, a tool, not an obstacle. I make working hard seem easy, and giving up, impossible. I make an old subject feel like a fresh thought, and unconventional methods common. I make material things less important, and little things like patience and kindness count. I make weekdays more exciting than weekends, and classrooms feel like anything but. I make things different, which is all I ever hoped for. I'm a teacher. I make more.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Why do you never see elephants hiding in trees? Because they're really good at it. All aboard the English Express.
Welcome back to the English Express Radio Podcast. Have you ever done something stupid when drinking?
Yeah, like drinking.
No, I mean while you're drinking, it's other things.
Oh, no. Yeah, it was for me, it was usually drinking more was the stupidest thing I would do while drunk.
Britain's 33-year-old Simon Smith was drinking with his friends. And when he sobered up, he had a new name.
What?
He went to the courts and got his name legally changed.
Oh, good God. That should be illegal.
And it was obviously a group decision. He was with his buddies. And, you know, they were, like, coming up with, like, hey, what about this name? What about that name? And the one that he settled on, they called it the most ridiculous thing that him and his friends could think of, bacon double cheeseburger.
Oh, Jesus.
And today, his name is legally bacon double cheeseburger. Although he insists you refer to him as just Mr. Cheeseburger.
Yeah, just Mr. Cheeseburger will be fine.
The worst part about this is he's got a career as a consultant in the oil and gas industry. He says, my work speaks for itself. People keep hiring me. So people don't seem to mind that his name is
Bacon Double Cheeseburger.
Of course, that's not exactly true because he uses his birth name on his resume.
Yeah, I was thinking that's probably the case.
And he only tells them his real name after the contracts have been signed. And he says, actually, I would prefer if you called me Mr. Cheeseburger.
Here, Simon, we got the contracts all finished. Just need you to sign. Yep. Bacon double cheese. Here you go.
What?
What is this crap? Didn't I tell you? That's a funny story. Sit down. I got one for you.
So on to the minimum wage. You think it's a good idea, right? It's good. $15 an hour. Who doesn't want $15 an hour?
Oh, I want $15 an hour. I agree with that. I want more than $15 an hour. That's why I went to college and I have a plan to earn that much money, because I believe that much money an hour, that's a step up in life, not where you start.
Don't you think that the minimum wage workers, you don't think they work hard? Aren't they working hard?
I know they work hard, and they work hard at very, what's the word, redundant tasks, as in mind-numbing work where you're doing the same thing over and over. You're a glorified robot and you get paid minimum wage for that job because that's the skill set. You can be a brilliant person who works really, really hard, but that's the skill set that job demands. You get paid a lower amount.
So you're saying that some workers just aren't worth as much as others?
Some jobs aren't worth as much money as others. Not the workers, because you can move workers from lower jobs to higher jobs. The worker may be worth $15 an hour, but he begins at $8.
Whoa. You're telling me that workers can move up?
Uh-huh.
That's not what I've heard. They've been talking about having a living wage for minimum wage workers because, you know, they're working at McDonald's, Burger King, and they can't afford to pay their rent on that.
Right. And I've known women that, you know, they've been in abusive relationships and they're trying to get their life back on their feet. They've got a bunch of kids and they're just trying to get by with welfare.
Don't you care about those children?
Well, right. And that's what the welfare is there for. And that's why we put those social programs in place. And that's subsidized. But she has, you know, this part-time or full-time job trying to, you know, get some more money or whatever. And that's all she can have time to do. This is the only job that's flexible for her time. And this is where she's at. And she doesn't have any plans to move up.
And you don't want her to pay her rent? What a monster you are.
Man, there is just, there just has to be a point at which you say this job gets paid low amounts of money. And if you chose, yes, chose to work this job, this is the low amount of money you get paid.
I don't know, man.
Like, here's another problem. What about a 16-year-old kid on ROP? Should they get half minimum wage or whatever? Like what is it that ROP gets? Is it like $4 less than a minimum wage? Is this kid gonna get $11 an hour?
What's ROP?
I don't know what the program is called. It's basically like what the letters stand for, but it's basically a work program. You're in high school, but it's a class. You get off after lunch, and so your whole afternoon is off, and you can work up to like 4 hours a day, up to 20 hours a week, and it's a work experience program, and you get paid for it.
And you don't think that all of that hard work deserves $15 an hour?
No, I don't think a 16-year-old deserves $15 an hour.
It's almost like you feel like these jobs should be kind of an opportunity for young children, 16, 17 years old, to as kind of a starting point where they can like enter the workforce, get some work experience, and then move up after that. Is that what you're trying to say?
Maybe, see, I don't want to lump all fast food jobs into the same category because there are ways to move up within a fast food chain. I'm like, there is a place for a 35-year-old to 45-year-old person to be having a career at McDonald's.
But they're not making minimum wage.
No, those people deserve to be salaried and they've worked their way and earned that position.
Okay, so again, your entry-level, bottom-of-the-barrel job, are you trying to say that that's just kind of an entry point to gain work experience?
And this is how you get your foot in the door to become those supervisor positions or to get noticed by corporate McDonald's and move up into the corporate McDonald's level. You get in the door by, and I keep using McDonald's as my example because it's so, generic, but this is how you start the ladder. You begin at the small place and you work your way up. You prove your worth and they pay you more. It's not they pay you first and then you prove your worth. That's crap.
Well, let's take a look at the federal minimum wage, which was set for the first time in 1938 at 25 cents an hour. That's not much. At 25 cents an hour, they were able to purchase gas at 27 cents a gallon. Took them about 22 minutes. Oh, I'm sorry. This is in the 1950s. Minimum wage was 75 cents an hour. So it took them about 20 minutes to buy a gallon of gas, about 40 minutes to buy a movie ticket, or 56 hours to pay rent. Because rent was only $42.
Okay. So you said this is in the 1970s all this is happening?
50s. Oh, okay. Okay, so the 50s, 20 minutes for gas, 40 minutes for movie, or 56 hours for rent. Okay? Now, in the 60s, it was raised to $1 an hour, and gas was 31 cents, took about 20 minutes. 40 minutes for a movie ticket. Rent was a little bit more expensive. It took them 70 hours instead of 56. So rent would have gone up, but at least your everyday stuff was about the same. Now, in the 70s, the outlook was actually pretty dang bright. Compared with 10 years before, the cost of rent and gas had actually gone down. Getting into the movies was one exception. We were looking at 40 minutes. Now it took an hour to get a movie ticket. But gas only took 14 minutes to earn, and rent was down to 67 hours. So okay, things weren't bad.
But that's still up from the 1950s.
Oh, yeah, up from the 1950s. Now, in the 80s, I mean, we were doing well, the people who had good jobs, but a minimum wage worker could still at least pay rent with under 2 weeks of work. So you're looking at like about 80 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So you work 2 weeks to pay the rent. That's still not bad. And you could, of course, live in a more affordable area. Nobody says you have to live in a nice place. And so you can kind of put yourself in a better position. And to be honest, if you're relying on the minimum wage to pay your rent, you probably shouldn't be living in a higher class area.
Right. And I'm like, if you're living minimum wage, you should be living with roommates.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
I'm like, that's the way to do it. You get four people together in a place that costs $800. You don't have to pay $800 a month in rent. Now you just got to pay $200, buddy.
At least then, in a normal nice place, you could still pay it with less than 80 hours. Okay. Yeah. By the 1990s, that's gone out the window. If you're living in a median rent area, 118 hours to pay the rent.
Yikes.
Still an hour for a movie ticket, still 20 for gas, because gas was $1.13 in the 90s. But it wasn't until George W. Bush got into office that the minimum wage raised to $5.15, and rent, movie tickets, and gas pretty much stayed the same, even though they rose the minimum wage. So I would argue that it kind of needed to be raised. I mean, $5.15, that sounds like a reasonable wage to me.
It does. And you said this is in 2000 when George W. Bush got in office?
Yeah. And in 2010, it had risen to $7.25. That's where it is currently. And even at
I don't see much of a problem with $7.25. I think $6.50 to $7 is about right.
I'm okay with that. And it seems like we're right in line. Sure, rent is still going up. You're at 110 hours, but an hour for a movie ticket, 23 minutes for a gallon of gas. I mean, you're right there.
This is a federal minimum wage, right?
Yeah, which means that states can make their own decisions and changes.
Because if I remember right, the minimum wage here is like $9
in California. Is it really?
Yeah, it raised like 6 or 8 months ago to $9, and it may be going up again really soon.
But the argument could be made that it's more expensive to live in California. And so what happens in California isn't the same as living in Arkansas.
Right, which is what I mean to say is that this is just a federal, you know, federal limit, but states can even pay more if you live in an expensive place like California.
And that's okay, especially if the voters agree with it. But I think that making such a drastic jump from $7.25 to $15 an hour is a huge mistake.
Well, and the worst part is, remember how I said that, you know, the people are glorified robots doing their menial labor work? Well, we've come a long way with real robots, and this may be the push. $15 an hour for a crew of nine working all day long at a 24-hour place. Let's go ahead and look at that $45,000 robot that I just have to maintain every year.
And it doesn't mean people don't still have jobs, but you might not have as many jobs. In other words, if I could staff my store with, let's say I'm hiring nine people now, maybe I got three people. You know, somebody who can take your money. You've got a guy at the drive-through window, and the robots are doing all the food.
Nah, see, you don't even need someone to take the money. You just put in a kiosk. So you don't even need someone taking the order. You just put in a machine. People pick the ingredients they want and press send. That gets sent back to the clerk, and you have to swipe your card. Boom.
But you might have. But you might have a guy, kind of. I think of the self checkout lines where you've got like one guy who oversees like eight different kiosks.
Yeah, and if you make that guy the same one that's bussing tables, then you only need one person on the floor cleaning up after all the other people, and they also oversee the line. You just took care of a crew of four people and made it down to one.
Yep. So
good job, $15 an hour minimum wage.
Well, he's happy. He's making 15 bucks an hour, but everyone else who wants a job in that place?
Mm-hmm.
Mass unemployment.
Yep. Great idea.
All right. Well, that's our show for today. Join us online, theenglishexpress.com. Send us an email, info@theenglishexpress.com. We never get fired. We'll always have a job. Can't get a robot to do this.
Oh, right. Yeah, they haven't made any robot radio stations.
Yeah, but they can't talk.
Yeah.
We will be back next week on the English Express Radio Podcast. See you next time.
Einkorn says bye.
I wondered why the Frisbee was getting bigger. Then it hit me. You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast.
You wanted to be a teacher when you were little. But as you